Apparently, someone got married yesterday, and I bet you none of you saw that wedding. But I was at a wedding. Wait, you guys are not thinking about the royal wedding, are you? My wife and I got married 17 years ago, yesterday. And yeah, we got married like when we were 10 years old. So I'm not going to give my age away. And I was telling my daughters that, you know what, we are all prince and princess anyway in the kingdom of God. But my younger daughter said, but you are bald prince. Fair enough. The wonder of being a parent, huh? And I have another confession to make before we start. If you have been hanging on your seat all week, greatly anticipating what movie clip we are going to see this morning, you can finally relax now, because there's not going to be any movie clip. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Next time, maybe, next time. Okay, now that we are all relaxed, let's get right into the sermon. This morning, we are continuing our series on psychic. Hollywood producers and directors know all along the importance of a good psychic to the narrative of a movie. Psychics play some very important roles, not just in movies, but comic books, and even classic literature. You see, without the psychic, the protagonist in the story would not even stand out or may not even be that interesting. I mean, can you imagine Han Solo without Chewbacca in Star Wars? Let's face it, Han Solo would not have been so charming and popular without Chewbacca on his side. Chewie just makes Han Solo so much more likable. And there are certain characteristics that make a good psychic. One of my favorite superheroes is Batman, the Dark Knight. And everybody knows Batman's psychic is Robin. Look at this picture. It is hard not to see who the main superhero is. I mean, Batman is taller, he's bigger, he's stronger than his sidekick, Robin. Even his utility belt is bigger than Robin. And even his man leggings and underwear are nicer than Robin's. So it is not hard to see that one of the important characteristics of a good and effective sidekick is that he or she does not draw attention to itself. In fact, one of the most crucial roles of a psychic is to be a bridge that leads the audience to the protagonist or hero in the story. In other words, psychics are like signposts on the road. They are like pointers showing you and guiding you on your way to your destination. A good signpost gives clear and accurate direction, description, and information what is ahead. Take the stop sign as an example. It is simple, accurate, and informative. It is red. It only has four letters. When you see it, you know what to do. You stop. In the province of BC, if you miss it, it will cost you 3 points and $167. And once you miss it once and get caught, you will never forget it. And don't ask me how I remember mine. Well, you may ask, is there another signpost that could be better than this? Actually, there is. Believe it or not, two nights ago, I was driving in a small side street right here in Richmond. And guess what? I came across this. This is an even better sign because it points to the stop sign itself. It gives you a warning so you won't miss the stop sign ahead of you. It turned out that the stop sign, in this case, was blocked by a tree. And it might be too late and dangerous by the time you see the stop sign ahead. So the whole point of this sign is to make sure you don't miss the stop sign. Just as there are good signposts, there are bad ones out there that confuse you, give you the wrong direction and information. Take this sign for an example. Caution, this sign has sharp edges. Do not touch the edges of the sign or you're going to bleed to death. So why did your person even put it up in the first place, right? Here's another one. Huh? How am I going to get to where I need to be? This road sign is so confusing. I think to some extent, we can all be a signpost. We can all point to something. The question is, what kind of signpost do you want to be? And you see, all this time in our current social media culture, we are all being caught and brainwashed to point to nobody but ourselves. We are being told to get as many likes on Facebook as possible. We are obsessive about how many followers we have on Instagram. Many people on social media point to nobody but themselves. More and more, we see people to go to extremes to get others' attention onto themselves. People would borrow money, and I'm talking about tens of thousands of dollars, so they can go on expensive vacation, so they can take that perfect photo and post it on Instagram, post it on Facebook, and get as many likes as possible. They will buy expensive clothes, go to expensive restaurants, doing extravagant things to get your attention. Their outlook on life is to be signposts that point towards themselves. So this is really important. Remember, good road signs point towards the destination. Bad road signs point towards themselves. So, a very relevant question we're going to ask this morning is, are you a good signpost or a bad signpost? What are you pointing to in your life? Are you pointing to yourself? In particular, if you are a Christian, is there something you can do to help people around you to look for what they want? To look for what is ultimately the most important in their lives? In the New Testament, John the Baptist gave us a perfect example of what a good signpost should look like. And this morning, we are going to look at his stories in the Gospel of John that is written by John, the disciple. Now, John the Baptist is very well known, no doubt about it. I mean, who has not heard about John the Baptist, right? Even non-Christians, even if you're not Christian, you probably have heard about John the Baptist. But what you have probably not heard before is how great of a sidekick he is. Let me give you a bit of a context about the background story. By this point in the story, John the Baptist is already quite famous and popular among the Jewish people. And Jesus was just starting out his ministry. The Gospel of Mark told us that John was baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. And we're talking about thousands and thousands of people being baptized by John. He is starting to get many likes on Facebook, and many people are following him on Instagram. And there was a lot of excitement and energy and anticipation among the Jewish people, because people were wondering if John could be the one. Could John be the Messiah? Could John be the superhero they have been waiting for to save the Jewish people from the evil Roman Empire? So John was getting so much attention that a group of Jewish religious leaders started to pay attention to John. They came from Jerusalem to check John out. They want to know who John is. Is he the one? Is he the Messiah? This is the backdrop of the story. And now let's dive right into the Gospel of John. And this is the testimony of John the Baptist. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Well, if this guy is not the Messiah, perhaps he was some other important figures. And they ask him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." By now you can sense the tension in the air and the anxiety in the Jewish leaders. And I wonder what was going through John's mind at this point. Perhaps a sense of achievement? After all, he was being compared to the Messiah and great prophets such as Elijah. But John was certainly holding his own and demonstrating great restraint and composure here. They continue to ask John. So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" By now, John could have said, "I am John the Baptist. I am famous. Haven't you heard about me? I'm the pioneer in eating locusts as the best source of proteins before anybody else. Look at the thousands and thousands of followers on my Instagram and Facebook." John could have answered the questions a number of ways, to draw attention to himself, but he didn't. But instead, he replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." John saw himself as nothing more than a voice. In other words, John saw himself nothing more than a signpost and a sidekick of Jesus. He is just preparing the road for the superhero that is coming. And the religious leaders kept pressing John for answers. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" They wanted to find out under what authority John used to baptize people. John answered him, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of those sandals I am not worthy to untie." Essentially what John is saying, "Hey guys, let me tell you again, I'm not the superhero you are looking for. I only baptize with water, and it's nothing, nothing compared with what the real superhero is going to do. He is already among you, and yet you do not know him. He is the one, and he is coming later. I am not even good enough to be the slave who unties the strings on his sandals." John's humility is in such sharp contrast to our modern day's culture and his role as a signpost did not stop there. Listen to this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he took the opportunity and pointed out to those around him who Jesus really is. "You guys think I'm the superhero? You got it all wrong. I'm not the Messiah. Jesus right here is the Messiah that will take away your sin." John continues, "This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me,' because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I've seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God." John repeatedly introduced Jesus to the world. He repeatedly humbled himself and at the same time exalted Jesus as the Messiah. "Hey guys, listen up. I saw the Holy Spirit come down from heaven like a dove and rest on this man called Jesus. God told me that he is the Son of God, the Lamb of God. He will take away your sin. He is greater than me because he exists before even I was ever born. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I'm just a sign." John takes every single opportunity to lead people to Jesus. His life mission was to go boldly where no one has gone before, to point people to Jesus, to introduce people to the superhero and their Messiah. Later in chapter 3, we see the same pattern in John's life. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Arnon near Salem because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized. Now, a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." You can see here that John's disciples were concerned about losing the baptism business to Jesus. "Look, Rabbi, you know the one you were telling everyone about? He is stealing our trade secrets and baptizing people. We are losing people to him. Before this Jesus came along, we had a pretty good ministry going for us. And now people are following him. His influence on the people is growing." And what John said next is huge. It's a big deal. It gives us an incredible insight to all of us why John is so good in being a signpost and a good sidekick to Jesus. Listen to how John responds to their concerns. John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing. A person cannot even receive one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him." What John was saying to his disciples, and he was saying this to you and me today, is this. Hey guys, why are you even worried? Can't you see? Everything, and I mean everything that we have in this ministry comes from God. God has a specific purpose for us. He wants people to come to us so that we can point them to Jesus. In other words, the key to a good psychic is be content, be humble. And John further illustrates his point by telling a parable of the bridegroom and the bridegroom's friend, or in today's term, the best man. Listen to what John has to say. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. Okay, let me explain. In Asian Jewish wedding, the friend of the bridegroom, or the best man, did not just stand there and smile for photo ops. He actually had a great responsibility. He had to make all the preparations, get all the people ready for the wedding, and make sure that the ceremony went smoothly without any hiccups, so the attention can be focused on the bridegroom and on the bride. So it is only natural that the friend of the bridegroom would find his greatest joy in knowing that the bridegroom and the bride are finally being married. In John's case, his role as the best man was simply to get the Jewish people ready as the bride for Jesus, who is their bridegroom. John knew that the best man is not the bridegroom. The bride always belonged to the bridegroom. John is just happy to know that Jesus is finally here and his people are ready for him. And this is a type of humility that John demonstrated over and over again. And John summarized this in verse 30. He must increase, and I must decrease. This is striking. This is a game changer. This is in direct conflict to conventional wisdom. Remember, John is no small potato. He can be a superhero in his own right. He is popular. He already has his own group of followers. He could have written on his Facebook page, "I am cousin to the Messiah. Therefore, I am royalty as well. I am the famous psychic to the Messiah. Look at me." But John knows better than that. John recognized that God had given him the role of being a psychic to Jesus, and he is content with it. And he knows that it was not because he is smart or brilliant or that he works hard for it. Rather, he knows it was by grace that God had given him this role so that he could point people to Jesus. In order to do this effectively, John told us that we have to humble ourselves. Because John knew that pride will take away your superpower as a psychic of Jesus. Pride is powerful and dangerous because it is subtle. It creeps into your inner being and stay there. When you least expect it, it comes out like a roaring fire and consume you and as well as those around you. Pride is like kryptonite to Superman. It poisons you and makes you ineffective as a sidekick. John understood this and was content in his role as a sidekick, as a signpost. John had everything he needed to be the superhero, but he understood his calling and identity in relation to Jesus. It is with this inner humility that John made this next pivotal statement, that Jesus must become more and I must become less. John is content of being a sidekick of Jesus. He is just a signpost, a humble and loyal messenger pointing people to Christ. Have you met people like that? Have you met Christians like that? I have. Take a moment and look around. Look around you. They are all around you because we can all be that signpost. Every Sunday morning, from the moment you walk into the parking lot, you see brothers in the parking lot guiding you where to park. When you walk into the main entrance, you are greeted by people with a big smile because they were just joyful to see you finally meeting the bridegroom. When you came into this room, there were people on the stage, off the stage, connecting you to Jesus with music, songs, and prayers. Sunday after Sunday, I see people like that who point to Jesus every week. And that's not it. I see them in my small group every Friday. They were average people like you and me. They are just someone else's wives, husbands, sons and daughters, parents, grandparents. They do not hold the highest position in a church, if there is such a thing. They were not pastors. They were not deacons. They were not Oikos leaders. They are not worship leaders. They don't stand on the stage playing any instruments. And they have their own set of problems. Some of them have depression. Some of them have children has gone astray. Some of them have marriage problems. Some of them have fighting cancer, depression, and they were worried, and they're concerned what is going to happen next. They are sad, and they cried. But you know, there is one thing that they would do no matter what. They would never stop talking about the goodness and faithfulness of Jesus. They would never stop pointing to Jesus. Their body and health may be failing. Their marriage may be falling apart. Their finances may be in turmoil. Their lives are being turned upside down, but they continue to stand tall and they continue to point to the cross. They continue to be the sidekick of the one that matters most. Not just in their own lives, but to the lives of those around them. It is because they know the superhero who died on that cross is the only hope of this world. And you know what the amazing thing is? I'm supposed to be their leader in a small group. But there are so many times that these brothers and sisters became my signpost when I was lost. Their stories become the road sign in my life. When I'm stuck in my walk with Jesus, and that probably happens more than what I would like to admit, they are the sidekicks who show me the way back to Jesus. They are the reason why I go back to my small group every week, even when sometimes I would rather just crash at home because I'm just so tired after a week. But the stories guide me back to Jesus, where I find my energy to continue. My friends, if pride takes away your superpower as a sidekick of Jesus, then your testimony is your superpower as a sidekick of Jesus. If pride takes away your superpower as a sidekick of Jesus, then your testimony is your superpower as a sidekick of Jesus. Do you have any idea how powerful one's testimony is? I've seen and heard so many examples of life transformation stories of brothers and sisters, and I'm so convinced that is where the power of Jesus lies. You can unlock and release that power of Jesus in your life to others by telling your life transformation stories. You may think it is much easier to be in signpost when things are going well, when the Lord blessed me with many things, when my work is smooth, when my health is good, when my marriage is perfect, when my kids are behaving and they're getting straight A's. But have you thought about how much more powerful it is when things are not going well in your life, but yet you keep on using your testimonies and pointing people to Jesus? Your role as a signpost and sidekick cannot be more powerful than when you are down and out. Remember the poor widow that Jesus talked about, who put in two very small coins that's really only worth a few cents. And they are all that she got left. But she still gave it all for Jesus. But yet her story made such a powerful impact to Christians that you and I are still the beneficiaries of her decision. She's another perfect example of what a sidekick should look like. So the question is, are you willing to be that signpost? Are you willing to be that signpost in your life to bring more people to Jesus and release the power of heaven to this world? Or would you rather play safe and do nothing? Be a signpost. Lead people to the one who can make a difference. We are not the superhero in this story or narrative, but we can be that sidekick to our hero, Jesus, who had the superpower to save the world. My friends, this cross right here is not a piece of furniture. It is not even an ornament. It is here for a reason. It is for us to show people the Savior of the world who has died for us on that cross. Take a moment. Look at it. The cross is here because generations and generations of Christians standing firm as signposts pointing to Jesus. This cross is standing right here in this school on this stage because 12 years ago, a few families got together and decided to be a signpost to Jesus. They had no money. They had no equipment. A van, maybe, we were just told. They have no congregation. They have no special talents. They have no ministry teams. They had nothing to be proud of. All they have is the vision and determination to tell people about Jesus and to bring people to Jesus. They know they would not be able to solve everyone's problem, but they want to do something for this community, for the city of Richmond and the surrounding cities. In other words, they just want to be a sidekick to Jesus. Today, that baton is passed to us in the English ministry. This morning, you heard from Pastor Wilbur that various ministry teams are looking for 39 servants. I look around the room. we have more than 39 people here. And this is one of the greatest opportunities for all of you to be a sidekick to Jesus. This is the great opportunity for you to be the pointers, to guide people to Jesus. You don't need special talents. You don't need special superpower. As you can see from the ministry of John this morning, as a sidekick of Jesus, all you need is a humble heart. I know sometimes it is so easy to think that we need to serve in some important roles to guide people to Jesus. Or it is just so much easier to let those who are gifted such and so to do all the important work. Our temptation is to continue to do what we have been doing all along. Go to the sideline instead of being the sidekick. But the church was never built on a few talented Christians. The church was built because everyone takes part. How are you going to choose? Are you going to choose the left or the right? You want to serve not only because you want all the attention and all the spotlight to be on you. You want to serve because you want to be that signpost. You want to be that pointer leading people to Jesus. When you were young, as a kid, have you ever dreamed or imagined to be part of a superhero or Jedi Knights fighting the bad guys? I know I have. There are bad guys out there, and the world needs us. As Christians, we can live that dream today, right now. We can fulfill that childhood dream of fighting the bad guys by being a sidekick to Jesus. Let's bow our head and pray. Lord, help us decrease so that you might increase. We are powerless without you. We are powerless when we depend on ourselves. Jesus, we ask in your great name to humble us, to clean us of any pride. Please use us. Give us a clean heart so that we may be more effective to serve you as your sidekick. Amen.